Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Big Trace. I'm in B-Town. I listen to Faith Walker, EMG.
Faith Walker, I'm done.
Just big talkers, showing what it really means to be a faith walker.
Yo, 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 it's your boy, In God, on the internet, on iTunes and Amazon.com. Got the internet going nuts on Sundays at 9 p.m. sharp Eastern time. I'm checking out my homie, Faith Walker, on what
the kingdom forces got for
Hey, this is Rod P, CEO of Walkfield Records, and I stay tuned in to EMG Radio listening to my boy Faith Walker.
Yo, yo, peace, God's people. This is Mr. Mayberry checking in, representing Texas, and every Sunday night at 9 p.m., I'm listening to Faith Walker, the Lazarus, on the Kingdom Voices Gospel program. Yeah, y'all.
This is for Tashawn Finney Allen, and while releasing my thoughts to paper, I listen to Faith Walker the Lazarus on the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program, EMG Radio.
It's your boy DJ Young Hope. You know what I do on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock? I listen to Faith Walker in the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program. Hit me up on Facebook, Young Hope, Twitter, Young Hope 503. And remember, there is always hope for your situation. Yeah.
Hi, this is Prophetess Lenine Hanaya, a.k.a. Dr. Intimacy. When I'm not worshiping in the beauty of holiness, I'm listening to EMG Radio Kingdom Voices Gospel Program, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. You ought to listen too.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Kingdom Voices Gospel Program, where we preview the very best in gospel music. I'm your host, the Lazarus, Minister Faith Walker. On it now, EMG Radio, sponsored by Nathan on the Spot. We bring to you the very best in gospel music, nationally, regionally, and locally. So for the next few minutes, you're going to pretend to take a ride on our gospel mix, worldwide famous gospel mix, coming to you live on the ones and twos. So now, just kick back, and our guests is in the building. We're going to rock out in a few minutes. Just kick back. I'll be right back. EMG Radio.
Yo, this your boy Darren Deke of Quality of Life Music Group, and every Sunday night...
You're now in tune into the Eagles in Flight album with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. Apostle Marcus Dupree is an apostle on a mission. Teaches the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, commissioning leaders, and empowering with an apostolic release. Prophet Selena Dupree is a prophetic intercessor, birthing out sons and daughters in the prophetic. Eagle Wings International Ministry is located at Fitchland, South Carolina, is teaching God's servants how to become leaders, always to edify and enhance a relationship with God. Also founders of Eagles in Flight Fellowship. You can write this ministry at P.O. Box 2185, Fitchland, South Carolina. 29936. Their phone number is 843-271-1006. And now, you are tuned into the Eagles in Flight Hour. Eagles, mount up! And Eagles, take flight!
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree.
We can have, we can talk to a bunch of people, but really when it comes down to, we need to talk to the Lord. We need to get to know Him, develop and cultivate our relationship with Him. You know, He said, casting our cares unto Him because He cared for us. A lot of times we carry these burdens when it wasn't meant for us to carry them.
Just wonderful. When God places a shepherd in your midst that does what Jesus does.
Everything wants to be built up in our life. Everything has a voice. You know, sometimes we can have so many voices speaking into our ears, and we just need to get to the voice that matters the most, the Lord's voice.
Or three. He gives us so many chances because He's a faithful God. know, we mess up a lot of Christians. Sometimes it's things that we know, and then sometimes it's things that we're doing that we just don't know.
Any which way he can try and get you away from God, he's always trying to do that, always trying to pull you away.
Eagles in Flight Hour with Apostle Marcus Dupree and Prophet Selena Dupree. From Eagles Wings International Ministries. We're broadcasting live at BMG Radio.
God, welcome to Eagles in Flight Hour. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree and also Prophet Selena Dupree. Well, she's not here tonight. It'd just be me solo in flight tonight. But nevertheless, you know, glory to God. God is still good in the midst of it all. Amen. Tonight we're gonna enjoy ourselves in the Word of God. We're gonna allow God to do what He does best. And as He begins to pour out into us tonight, we're gonna just flow in the Spirit tonight. Amen. We're just gonna let God have His way. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We give You praise, honor, and glory. This is the day truly that You have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank You, Lord God, for Your presence and Your power in Jesus' name, for what You're doing in our lives. We thank You in advance for what You're about to do. And we thank You, Lord God, for where You brought us from. Thank You, Lord, for even just touching our hearts tonight, Lord, even as we're about to read and get into Your Word. We thank You for revelation of knowledge coming forth and even encouragement, building us up, Lord God, tearing down the erroneous thinkings and any ideas that's not of You. And we thank You just for clarity, enlightening our spirit and our soul. We thank You, Lord God, that You're awesome and You're mighty, and we thank You in the name of Jesus. We give You praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. We thank You. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Tonight we want to get ready to get into the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we will start at verse 24. And actually, let's go to verse 23. Let's go to verse 23. All right, here we go. And when He had sent the multitude away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, but walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come unto the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. Well, we will talk to you tonight about water walking faith. Water walking faith. Amen. When we talk about water walking faith, this is not just the everyday faith, but this faith is really special. When you talk about water walking faith, it's when those times where you have nothing else to stand on. You can't see anything. There's nothing for you to lean on, no one to lean on, but the Word of God. Let's begin to go into Scripture. Let me go as a reference. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to come right back into that. Amen. Set a little foundation here. Of course, what is faith? Before we even get to water walking faith, but what is faith? All right, Hebrews 11, very familiar passage of Scripture for us, but nevertheless, still powerful. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, like the gasoline in your car. The peanut butter with your jelly. I mean, you know, it's that substance, it's that thing that's gonna make this thing happen, you know. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because he had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible, never can do it, sure can't in no way, impossible, so it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So laying that foundation about faith, what faith is about, you know, it's the substance of things hoped for. You know, whatever you believe, the outcome that you're believing in, this is the thing that's going to keep you together to the full manifestation. Get there. This is the thing. This is going to be the driving force behind you to persevere while you're waiting for your manifestation. This is the life support. That's why you're waiting for the full recovery. See, this is why faith is so important. And even there's a different. And of course, when you know. It is great when you have some things in place as far as to help aid you in your faith, but what if you don't have some other things? You don't have the moral support. You don't have you don't have people in your corner. You know, you might be the only one believe this one thing. You may actually just be living on the edge to where everyone else think you're crazy for believing like you do. You are. And, you know, even the people who you thought was there, not even there for you. Amen. So that's a little quick shine about what faith is. And so now we're talking about water walking faith, to where even that which you thought was there for you is not even there. With the solid ground that you thought was probably there is technically probably not, when you look at the natural side of the whole thing. And where you just really have nothing else to stand on but the Word of God. So let's take another close look at this thing here. So let's go to verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. Now, let me say that. That is a very key thing right there. As we see, as we come into this awesome sign, wonder, miracle that Jesus just did, one part that he did first, he went, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. We, without prayer, we won't see the manifestation of God like we need to. Prayer, of course, that communication with God, that fellowship with God, that communion with God. You know, we without investing time in his presence, we won't get a return of his manifestation. Without investing time in his presence, we won't get the results far as the result of manifestation. So when we see this, we have to understand and know God is he's ready to do a work in us and through us, but we need to stay in touch with headquarters. We need to invest time with him. We have to be in a place where we can hear and receive. So here it is, Jesus himself being the Son of God. Even after getting away from everyone else, he went up to a mountain to pray, spent time. So if Jesus see it necessary to pray, we don't have no excuse. We need to be visiting some time in prayer. Because sometimes people just feel like, you know, I can just keep going on. No, we need some time to break away from the norm, you know, and just get some time in with God and just allow him to minister to us and get built back up. Now, on that verse there, let's go to Jude 20. I definitely want to make sure I bring this part up because this is very important as well. Jude 20 says, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost will build up your faith. It will see you pray in mysteries, and your prayer language to God that Satan cannot intercept. He can't understand it. It messes him up every time he hears it because he don't know what's being said. He can't discramble that. He can't. He can't do nothing with that. So when he hears it, he knows trouble. So when if you talk about increasing your faith, help to build up your faith and increase you, prepare you, glory to God, praying in the Holy Ghost does that. And that's the key thing here. So as we see here, as he spent time in prayer, so we can insert there, we can definitely say this is a good time where he was actually spending some time praying in the Spirit before he will begin to venture out. And when the evening was come, back in Matthew 14, verse 23, and when the evening was come, he was there alone, okay? But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. So they was going into the wind, and they had a fight going on because the wind was pushing the boat around, and they were having a hard time. It was a long night for them, you know, trying to get across. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, is it a spirit? And they cried out for fear. Is it a spirit? I'm pretty sure if you see that, you know, happening, it's a kind of shocker. And, you know, it's kind of, you see your master, your leader, your pastor, your mentor, whoever it may be. You just see anybody walking on the water, I'm pretty sure that's a rather interesting conversation. I'm pretty sure the first thing you run in your mind, am I seeing things? What's going on with my eyes? Does my eyes deceive me? Well, in this case here, these disciples, they recognized that it was Jesus, but they was like, well, is it a spirit? I mean, was it his spirit, or what's going on here? You know, it's one of those things that, you know, just kind of hard to explain when if you've never seen anything like that before. All of a sudden to see this happen, I'm pretty sure it was a shock. But nevertheless, once he recognized that it was Jesus, you know, here it is, we see where the wind was really giving him a hard time. So as he saw Jesus walking, and when the disciples saw him, verse 26, saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "Is it a spirit?" And they cried out for fear. Now, let me deal with the fear thing for a fact, the fear factor. With fear, we have to understand faith and fear can never work together. It's like oil and water, it don't mix. It's going to work against one another. And it's not that absence. Well, fear is just maybe stronger because of what they feel. You know, they just allowing fear to rise up because of, you know, they're seeing this thing and it's hard for them to mentally grasp hold of what they're seeing. So in the meanwhile, they're really like, oh my God, what's going on here? So in the midst of being shocked and all that good stuff, they're allowing fear to come in. And so they cried out for fear, which is not good. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, get happy, be good, get happy. It is I. Be not afraid." And we see that so many times in the Bible, to where they may say, two words, and do not fear. Don't be afraid. And a lot of times, so here it is, so Jesus is trying to calm them down, tell them, calm down, be a good cheer, you get happy, it's me. Be not afraid. So as he goes on, he says, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord," and see, you know, Peter is the one that's not afraid to step out the box and do something different from what everyone else is doing. You got to give Peter his credit. Peter was not the inbox kind of guy. He just was not, you know, like everyone else. Peter was not afraid to step out where other people weren't. He wasn't afraid to do some things other people didn't do. So as we can see, that those things have this positive and negative. But here it is. Peter answered him saying, If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it be you, Lord, let me come on the water with you. Let me come out here." and Jesus responded, one word, come. Let me say this. In life, you're going to, challenges will come to you. You're going to, you know, here it is, it's a good moment to really focus on this point. Water walking faith is truly in order. Because here it is. He didn't have anything else to go on. He's seen Jesus do something totally supernatural. Since when does water hold a man up? Well, as he walk on top of it. You know, he's doing it in the midst of a storm. All these factors, the dead boat is being tossed around by the wind and waves, but yet Jesus is calmly walking to them. And the only thing they're seeing, the only thing he's seeing is, hold on. Jesus, if this is you, bid me to come. Some of you right now may be facing financial situation. You can't see no way out. Some of you may be facing, you might be about to lose your home. Maybe get kicked out of your apartment. The notice may be on the door. You don't see no way out. Your kids need money for school. You don't see no way out. Your body might be racked in sickness right now. You don't see no way out. And the doctors ain't give you nothing good to even take back. You're seeing, well, no way out. In those times, when everything else is failing you, the Word of God won't. The Word of God tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but this Word will stand forever. And these are the times where you got to hold on. If that's all you got is to hold on to the Word, that's all you need. That's all you need, because the Word of God itself can withhold. Matter of fact, he even said, if heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word stands forever. If the Word of God should fall, then the world must not be standing. Well, since the world is still standing, we know the Word is still holding up. Everything is being held up by the power of God. So in those times when you have nothing else to depend on, when everything else has turned its back on you, when everyone else has said, man, you crazy, everyone else has called you crazy and label you in a nut house, but still believing, when everything else is saying, there's no way it's going to happen, This is the time for that water walk of faith. You almost blindly have to step on out there, even against all odds. Trust in God. When there's nothing else to stand on. There are people right now who stand, who living in houses where the enemy, actually they're supposed to have been out the house, but yet they're still standing. Why? By the power of God. By the word of God. One word from the Lord can not only change your life, but can save it. One word, that's all it takes. And you have to know that the word of God will not fail you. It's going to take everything in you. That's why when it comes down to now faith, we have to make sure that our faith is fresh. It's not that old last year's faith. You can't run this race with last month's faith, last week's faith. Your faith needs to be up to date to now and ready, up to par right now. See, the faith that took 10 years ago, it takes a whole lot more than that now to sustain you. So when it comes to water walking faith, it's going to go beyond your natural understanding. And sometimes you may find yourself in the room praying by yourself. You know, just in those times, that's why it's good to begin to pray. Hallelujah. Just like we were saying about praying in the Holy Ghost. When all the odds are against you, when everything looks like there's no way, go pray. When your mind wants to go somewhere when your mind wants to go somewhere where your faith is not. Your mind is saying, well, let's go do something like this and try to make something happen. And your spirit saying, no, let's trust God. Let's wait on God. See, it may look so tempting to go ask everybody for the favor to bail you out. But sometimes in order to provoke your faith, sometimes God will block those other people that you might try to go to. So, no, I want you to grow. I want you to learn from this. I want to see your faith in action this time. See, it's very easy to go lean on your brother, mother, or uncle, or daddy when you know they got it. It's very easy to talk faith when you have everybody to go to. But what if all those people say, I can't help you? There's no other way to turn. The loan, you try to go get a quick loan, that's not going to happen. What are you going to do when your faith is tested? What are you going to do when there's no other way to turn? And even the ground that you stand on, it looks kind of funny. Like it's not going to hold you up. That which you thought you could at least do it, then your final result, you done going through A to Z and nothing's working. Now you have no choice but to believe God. You have to take him at his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that lets me know in those times when you're facing those dark times when it's looking like there's no other way to make it out. There's no this when all the odds are against you, when things are not making sense, when everyone is talking silly. That's the time that you need to do like Jesus and go stow away and we'll pray. Go get away from everything else. Shut everything down. Shut down the Facebook. Shut down the Twitter. Everything else. Just shut it down and get away. Go into that closet. Go into that room. Wherever it is where you can, where a place where you can have the undivided attention with you and God. There are so many times I've been faced with different tribulations and different things that coming on. See, I was pressed on every side and didn't know what to do. And I felt like I was about to snap because everything was on me at the same time. Well, what I had to do, I had to go find me a place to go pray and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost until I get a breakthrough. Even though technically, if I look at things, things may not change, but guess what? I change. Because now my position has changed because my faith needed to be shifted, needed to shift me. See, glory to God. It's almost like an eagle. It's like an eagle. It's like a bird. You know, how can I say it? You know, an eagle has its nest way high up in the mountains where not many animals or prey can get to that. Sometimes you have to allow God to shift you into a place where the enemy can't find you. But when you begin to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, and begin to move like that, as far as beginning to get into that place of prayer, you are now causing yourself to be hidden in God or hidden in Christ. It's going to take that some time for you to be intubated through your storm. It's going to take that kind of radical move to say, you know what, Lord, I believe you and your word, and nothing else matters. Only thing Peter had to work with is that word come. That's the only thing Jesus gave him to work with, and he took that. And let's see what happens. Glory to God. Let's see what happens. Go a little further. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to come to Jesus. Now, he didn't say he tried to walk on the water. They didn't say he partially walked on the water. They didn't say he put a foot in then he before he tried to step down. No, he came off the ship and he began to walk. He walked on the water. He was walking to Jesus. Now, here it is. You have prayed for your time with the Lord, and now you begin to feel better, feel more confident. Once again, your situation may not change just by way of looking at it, but you change because you're no longer giving room to fear and doubt. But once again, fear will suffocate your faith. Faith and fear can never work together. Remember that. But fear can suffocate your faith if you allow it to. And so here it is, you now shift your position by getting into prayer. And so now you're able to breathe again. Okay, we can do this. So as you begin to walk, now you're beginning to see yourself the way God is. And now you begin to see, okay, we can do this. And so as you begin to walk, because you had to shift your position, and when you shift your position, you also shift your paradigm. You also shift your mindset, okay? Now I say, okay, look, all right, this is the situation. Now let me say this. There's a difference between facts and the truth. There's a difference between the facts and the truth. Facts may say your mortgage might be 6 months back. Facts may say you have stage 4 cancer, you about to clock out. Facts may say you may have AIDS. Facts may say you may have a bad stomach and you may have a hard cold. All the facts are lining up saying what you don't want to hear. But what does truth say? The truth of the matter is, by your stripes, you are healed. He said, the truth says, he shall supply all your needs according to your riches, all your need according to your riches, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The truth says you are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. The truth says you are more than a conqueror. The truth says, no weapon that is formed against you should prosper. See, this is true. And sometimes we find ourselves standing on facts. The facts can't help you. The facts are not designed to help you. The facts are against you. That's why the water walking faith will cause you to begin to stand up when the facts may say one thing while your faith say another, when the truth say another. You stand on the truth of God's word. And when you stand on the truth of God's word, you begin to have the truth and the results of God's truth. Truth will outlive and outstand facts any day. But you got to believe. It's according to your faith, be it unto you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're about to have us a little break. Glory to God. We will come right back. Amen. Enjoy the song of worship. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Touch. Oh, bless you, Jesus. I I'm going to sing this song first, and I want you to join in with me tonight. And let this be your prayer. Oh, let your anointing, you that are home, let your anointing saturate you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Again, so as we talk about what a walk in faith, we just thank God for even for how he's prepared us, you know. And the thing is about God is God knows what we're going to have encounter before we actually get to it. And the good thing about God, he prepares you more than you realize. That's why he may cause you to begin to pray more. That's why he may cause you to begin to have some more spiritual, well, not only just spiritual minded, but some kingdom minded friends in your life. Sometimes he'll begin to cause you to begin to read the Word of God more. You'll find yourself being, you know, having a desire just to be alone and, you know, spend more time. Sometimes God is transitioning you, preparing you for this big test because it's coming along. So that's why you have to kind of, you have to really pay attention to your walk. You know, just because you don't know, you may not know, but God knows. He knows what you're about to encounter. He knows what it's going to take for you to endure, and not only to endure, but to win in this battle that's going to come up. No matter how you may look at it, He prepares you. When it comes before fall, you know, before destruction, before any kind of thing come up, he prepares you along the way. And sometimes if we don't adhere to the warning, then we're caught by surprise, and then disasters do come. But nevertheless, for his love and his grace is so sufficient that sometimes even when we don't realize it, he's right there. He's working on our behalf. And here it is. So Peter is coming out of the boat, and he began to walk on the water. And he's doing it. He is walking on the water. The same way Jesus is doing it, he is doing the same thing. But all of a sudden, he began, like a lot of us, we start doing good in our faith. I mean, here it is. We started to get on the new leap of things. We're starting to do some great things, leaps and bounds of God. And all of a sudden, we began to take our eyes off of Jesus. And we begin to find ourselves being, everything at the wrong time tries to begin to pull your attention. Okay, you were spending every day, you've been spending time in his presence, you've been beginning to, you know, have your little, you know, routine going on, and you've seen the effects of your spending time being consistent in your time. When you get there, God is there waiting on you, and you're beginning to have a good fellowship together, refreshed. All of a sudden, one day, you have an appointment, and it's going to be at that time where you just spend time in the presence of the Lord. Well, you say, okay, well, one day ain't going to hurt. Next thing you know, you miss a day. But then you didn't get a chance to get back into his presence later on. Okay, there goes in one day. Next thing you know, something else again happens. Some kind of mercy come up. Or someone wants you to do something for them is going to be around that same time. Before you know, your time will begin to be attacked by the enemy. Or whatever the case may be, whatever he can try to do to get your head turned off of Jesus. Whatever he can do to try and distract you. He may try to let some things come up or try and mess with your money. All of a sudden, you know, you find yourself in the financial crunch. Instead of you resting in him, spending that time in his presence, well, now you're sitting up worrying, trying to figure out how you're going to make this thing happen. At the same time, all you've been doing, if you kept doing what you've been doing, keep trusting God, he had an answer prepared for you. So all these different distractions that try to come to pull you out of his presence, to pull your eyes off of him. And so here it is, Peter's walking. And all of a sudden, let's see what happens as he begins to walk. Amen. He's in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid. So sometimes the wind will give you a strong gust and you know, kick some water up and all that stuff. You know, all, you know, at the same time, and just when he was about to make a step, and he may have cringed and look at the water as the water was coming up and took his eyes over Jesus. Now, at that moment in time where he was in faith, now fear started to rise up. And sometimes that's where you get, you know, when you're walking this walk of faith, watch and pray, because when the enemy likes to try and hit you while you're in stride, while you're moving forward, he likes to throw some things at you to try and get you off course when you least expect it the most. Who would have expected the, you know, while things was going good, all of a sudden your boss call you in the job, call you in the office and tell you you did something wrong last weekend. I'm going to suspend you for 2 days at work. And you didn't know what was going on. All of a sudden, it got you kind of down the press. Well, now it was not someone down the press, but now it disappointed you. So instead you say, you know what? Because I'm spending time with God, this is just a distraction. Don't let it get the best of me. But instead, you allow it to kind of get to you. Now you feel a little hurt. You're a little disappointed. Then you begin to take your eyes off of him. Now you're beginning to sink. You haven't given up because you're still being held up. He said, you began to sink. Well, even that, who begins to sink? Either you're going to fall or you don't. So obviously he still had faith. He was beginning to waver in his faith a bit. That's why he began to sink. And sometimes that's what happens. We don't give up, but we begin to sink. We begin to waver in our believing. We begin to take our eyes off of Jesus. And when we recognize those times, that's why it's good for us to see. And what Peter did was great, because Peter cried out, Jesus, save me. Sometimes you may have to scream out sometimes, Jesus, save me. I don't know which way I'm going to go. I don't know what else to do. I don't know how it's going to work out. Jesus, save me. If you're full of pride, you can't say that. Pride will hold your mouth together. Pride will cause you to go right on down when you didn't have to. Pride will cause you to say, you got this, you can do this yourself. And it wasn't you who got you this far. Pride can deceive you. Don't let pride cause you to miss on the rescue when it's time. See, he didn't wait for him to fall in, but he cried out to Jesus. He said, Jesus, save me. And before he could go down, he was already on his way back up, because the master saved him. Sometimes we mess up. We wait so long to cry out. So it's almost like some of us have to go under before we start to cry out for help then. See, sometimes things won't get as bad as they get. We try everything else first, then we try Christ. You go through A to Z, then you try Christ. Why do we have to wait so long? Why couldn't we go ahead and say after, you know, especially after the first thing, this is, look, okay, Jesus, I need your help. I must have missed you on something. I need your help. Why do we got to wait till we go over to Z? We done try everything else. Now we try Christ. That's not the best thing to do, because you might not make it. Why not? Things will get air consuming, wherever you just, you know, just the whole boat just fall. You know, whatever the case may be, things could get to the worst state before, you know, it didn't have to get that far. So sometimes we wait so long, and we let things prolong on, even with the enemy. Sometimes we let the enemy talk so long to us. And even with, sometimes, let me say this. Sometimes when you're walking, you're making those steps of faith, you're walking, going forward, you're walking, you're pressing towards the mark of the prize, how come it wishes through Christ Jesus, you're walking, you're going forward. And the enemy goes, tss, tss. Instead of us keep forward, keep focused and keep going, moving forward, tss. The enemy. What you want, we take our eyes off. And he might have something that might get your attention to cause you to slow down. And now you find yourself drifting. Now you find that thing that you once had control of now starting to get control of you. Because why? Because we're surrendering strength. We're surrendering. Now where you were up in faith, you're allowing you're allowing fear to seep in and steal from your faith. It's almost like you have a jug full of faith. And what happens is, as you begin to allow yourself to get taken off course or begin to take your focus off Jesus, now it's like that water, that faith is being ciphered out of there and now going into the jug of fear. And so that's why the tables begin to turn. Where you was up in faith, now fear is rising up, and your faith is not having the effect it once had, because fear is coming in and stealing the momentum that you had going on. that substance that you once had you was full of faith because you had a substance, you had a substance full of faith. Now the substance is being exchanged for fear. See, sometimes we make it too easy for the enemy to come in. And so here's Peter allowing himself to be distracted. Many times we do the same thing. We allow ourselves to be distracted. But the tactic of the enemy is when you're flying high, he want to hit you hard so you can fall hard. Let us be wise. So here it is as we go look for him. Romans coming to the close of this. As he goes on, he said, come. Okay, then we go to verse 30. And he said, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Oh, no. See, Jesus ain't going to let you go down. No. You cried to him. But you got to cry to him. Now, if Peter didn't cry, if he allowed pride to come in, he didn't say anything, he would have gone on in. But he did. He opened his mouth and cried out to the Lord, and he saved him. And here's Jesus. He said, and it said unto him, O thou of little faith. He didn't say of no faith. He said of little faith. See, it took a lot of faith for him to, his faith was strong. To, you know, he had a lot of faith to step out there and do this. But at that point, he gone from much faith to little. Because he allowed fear to come in and distract him and pull from him. So he said, oh, thou little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? Where did you doubt? Where in this situation did you doubt me? Is it that I was, where in this did you doubt me? Did you doubt that I was going to let the wave get to you? Did you doubt that the water was going to get to you? Or did you doubt that I was going to just drop you in the water and just not hold you up? Where did you doubt that I was going to need, that I wasn't going to hold you up? I was already holding you up. I already gave you the word to come. So I know all this other stuff in between was going to happen. I know the wave was going to bolster up. I know the wind was going to be strong. I knew all of that. He knew all of that. So wherefore did you doubt? So where in all of that did you doubt? Jesus was like, I provided when you had nothing. I gave you something. You went from having no job to getting the best job of your life. You're going from walking on past the incline on your feet to now you're pushing the bins. And now that the storm has come here, you're wondering how you're going to make it. But wherefore have you doubted? Where in this did you doubt? Where did you doubt in this whole thing that I wasn't going to provide for you? Have I not provided for you in the past? Have I not provided for you up this far? So why are you doubting now? Why are you casting away your confidence now? I brought you through your darkest storms. I brought you through the hard rains in life. Those nights when you almost didn't have anything to eat, I made provision for you. You did someone a favor months ago, and lo and behold, on the very night that you had nothing to eat, they came and give you, said, hey, man, I meant to give you something for the 2 months ago that you helped me. All of a sudden, he provided. There was food for money that you didn't even count on. Pricked his heart at the right time to meet you at your need. So if God did that then, why are you doubting him now? Oh, ye little faith. What a walk in faith. When there's nothing else to stand on, all you have is his word. That's all it takes is his word. If it's the word that you have, that's all you need. Yes, it may look crazy. It may not make sense to your conscious mind. But in those times, that's when you have the greatest feats in God. Not defeats, feats. You have great wins because you had nothing else to stand on, and you finally say, you know what? Lord, I trust you. And because you trust God, God came through. Glory to God. So as we see here, and when they had come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now look at this. Look at this. Now check this out. All this time, the wind and everything was going on while Peter was trying to walk on the water. Of course, they had their problems before, but it's mighty amazing that once he began to walk, it's almost like the storm responded to his faith. See, you don't understand why it seemed like just when you begin to put the word of God into action, that's when things get real crazy in your life. This is when you start to make sure you put in your book, make your appointment time to spend time in the presence of the Lord, invest time in his presence. All of a sudden, your work schedule acts up. You can't seem to have the extra time that you had. Then it makes sense that all of a sudden, people begin to ask you for a favor to take them somewhere around that same time you were starting to spend time. It's mighty funny. As soon as he went through this trial, that's when the wind ceased. At that point then, there was no need for it to blow it in because Peter was in the boat then. But while he was out there, it was acting up. That goes to show you the enemy responds to your faith. When you begin to stir up faith and begin to operate, begin to move, begin to stretch your faith and begin to operate in what you really believe, you begin to build up your faith and stand on the word of God, he doesn't like that. So he's going to try to send every distraction your way to try to discourage you from spending time in his presence. That's why we shouldn't make it easy. Stand on the word of God. Don't allow the enemy to come in and distract you. Don't allow the enemy to come in and shut you down. Don't allow the enemy to come in and discourage you, hit you from the blind side, and cause you to cast away your confidence. You ever had someone ever took a blind side hit? Matter of fact, I remember one time in football I was playing years ago, and I was playing on defense and on the cornerback, and all of a sudden there was this guy. The play started, and I'm looking, kind of look at the play develop, and all of a sudden, only thing I know is feel like somebody hit me out of nowhere. And I'm on the ground, I'm looking at who did it? Who hit me? Which way did he go? And I got up, and this guy saw this little skinny little fellow started laughing. I said, oh, wow. Yeah, I wanted to fight. That was kind of rubbed the wrong way on that one. Because he got me, that was a blindside hit. And I didn't see it coming, but I knew I was hit. And I went down. Sometimes that's what the enemy's trying to do to you. Trying to catch you off guard because I was not paying attention. I was so caught up in the play that I wasn't watching what was going on around me. That's why I say watch and pray. Sometimes we close our eyes and just say you stop praying. Watch and pray. Look at what's going on around you. And the enemy can't steal your fire because see, once that hit happened, it took me out of the... It knocked me down. And then I wasn't injured, but it kind of took me, it shook me, kind of took me out of the game a little bit because I didn't expect that hit to come. And so now I'm looking nervous. I'm looking around. Is he going to try to come back again and get me again? So I'm always looking around. And that's when it... So now to where I was faith. I was good. I was believing. I was in faith. But now because I took that hit, now I'm a little nervous. I'm in fear now. See, now I'm not as confident as I was before the hit. Sometimes the enemy causes you to take some hits to knock you off balance. They cause you to stop believing. They cause you to be shaky in your faith. Or you were solid once before, but all of a sudden he allowed you to be hit. Now you're kind of a little, shaky with it. You believe, but you're not believing too much. Well, just like this. Try to sit in the chair and all of a sudden, you sit down in the chair freely, all of a sudden the chair crumbles apart, whatever the case may be. Even though I could come right back and fix that chair, when you go to sit down on it, you're going to sit down real easy because it fell apart before. I'm going to be really careful this time. Now you're doubting. You've lost confidence in that chair. Now, if here's the enemy hits you, with a blindside hit, now when it's time for you to trust God again, you'll be like, wow, last time I trust God, man, and stepped out there, man, that thing happened. See, now see, mission accomplished. Now the enemy got you to begin to doubt your God. Don't fall a victim. Don't let yourself be a victim of that. The enemy, he desires to sift you as wheat. So because of that, you need to watch and pray. Don't be ignorant to the devil's devices. He's going to use some people. He's going to use certain things to hit you. He's trying to give you a blindside hit, trying to knock you off your rocker. But don't be moved by that. He's going to try, but don't let him succeed. And if he do hit you, get back up. Well, God, I know next time I'll be watching and praying, and so I'm going to get right back in the game, go back again, and begin to pray. Begin to pray and watch. And as I begin to pray, I'm watching and I'm moving forward. Because sometimes the enemy is trying to get you to stop moving. When he gets you to stop moving and then you begin to have doubt, that's what he wanted you to do. You took yourself out of the game. Tonight, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for strengthening everyone that's on this line right now that's listening. We strengthen their faith, but they've been knocked off by this. They've been blindsided, hit by the enemy. When it took a hit from the side they were looking for it to come, and now because of it, they're walking in doubt. Their belief has been shaken. Even their stance, where they once had, was strong. Now they're kind of shaky. I speak peace into their soul now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for touching them in that special way. We thank you for healing them when they've been broken, Lord, to make them whole. Give them strength in that water walking faith that they will begin to live, move on a greater measure of your faith, Lord God. That no matter what is not saying or not speaking faith in their life, Lord, that they will hold on to you and your word. That one word, come, and that's all they need to know. That one word from you has caused them and has sustained them through whatever challenge is coming their way. If it's only one word, let that one word sustain them, Lord God, that they shall walk in victory. Lord, cause them to break through some of these hard places they're in. Lord, we thank you right now where the enemy is trying to cause them to doubt and cast away their confidence, Lord God. Strengthen them to stand strong. Reinforce them, Lord God, with more faith, even as they begin to cultivate their faith, Lord, by faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word. And then as they begin to get in your word, Lord God, you said a man will live by his faith. And we thank you because of that, he's going to begin to cause their faith to begin to be strengthened. As they operate Jude 20, as they pray in the Holy Ghost, as they begin to build themselves up on their most holy faith, that they will have the results they need to have. Father, we speak now. We call for their faith to be made whole. Where they've been broken, make them strong. Make them whole once again. In the name of Jesus, oh God. Help them to believe as they receive. They will not lose their confidence, but they shall hold on for their great reward. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. We bless you right now. Strengthen their faith, Lord God. Cause them to stand, even when the enemy is trying to make them fall. When all the symptoms look to be negative, let them stand on the positive, which is your word. Let them move not by facts, but let them move by truth. The truth is your word. If that's all they have to stand on, then that's all they ever need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If we have anyone who would like to call, ask a question, or bring a comment, apologize. I didn't even mention the time. The number. The number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. I do apologize. I got so caught up in this thing. That's why I know I miss my partner. Glory to God. But amen. But if anyone desires to call in, maybe online listening, you can call in 347-945-5416. Amen. Glory to God. We're talking about water walking faith tonight. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. But if not, we thank God for each and every one of you tonight and for what you have.
Listen.
We thank God for each and every one for who have called in tonight. And we pray that the call was a blessing to you. Amen. And we pray that you have definitely received in your faith tonight. Water walking faith. Take this word and begin to live by the word like never before. And when you're challenged, don't give up. Put pressure on your pressure. Don't give in. Glory to God. But we thank you, I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree. This has been Eagles in Flight Hour, and we thank you. Also with Prophet Selena Dupree, we thank you for each and every one tonight. And we say God bless you, and you all have a great night. Amen.
A new vessel.
In your presence, there is direction. Lord, show me the way.